Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, or parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We are featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, no?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, the Lord our God, he is in the midst. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio. This is our Thursday night edition, and let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We say, Lord, have your way tonight. Hallelujah. We lift up every care, everything that has gone on today, everything that's been on our minds, Lord God. We lift it up to you right now. We lift up everything that's going on in our bodies today, Lord God. We lift all of that up to you. We cast every care on you because we know that you care for us. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. As your word goes forth tonight, we thank you for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we are truly gathered together in your name. And we thank you, God, for being in the midst tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we continue to dedicate this broadcast to you and say, Lord, move by your spirit. Have your way, Lord God. Hallelujah. Have fun with us tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Show us another way to look at you and what you're doing tonight, Lord God, in the name, and all of this month, in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We love you. We lift up our speakers to you, Lord God. We thank you for touching them and strengthening them with might in the inner man by your Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that they will move as a united one and be led by your Spirit. We give you praise right now for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, here we are in April 2022. Hallelujah. And the year is marching on. And I am truly excited tonight. If you listen to this broadcast, you know that I'm always excited. God just blesses me with so many wonderful, you know, speakers that come on. Tonight, we're beginning a series. And the series is called The Five Love Languages. Hallelujah. And even before I go any further, I want to read a scripture that just stood out to me today. And it's 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." And this is 1 John verse 8. "He that loves not God, for God is love." Hallelujah. So as we go into these five love languages, remember that. God is love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he does express himself in so many different ways. So our guest speakers tonight are Minister Mary and Lenny Yarbrough. Now, Minister Mary is my sister, and Minister Lenny is my brother-in-law, her husband. And both of them have been on Get 'Em Radio before. Hallelujah. So if you don't know about them, just Google Get 'Em Radio and Mary Yarbrough or Lenny Yarbrough, and you'll find some more about them from Get 'Em Radio. But, you know, when you look at your family and you see the gifts, when I look at my, see the gifts in my family, it's like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so this is really sharing the gifts in our family. And I'll sing my song. It's a family affair. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's given us such a blessed family. So at any rate, the two of them have been together. I'm saying together. They are married, but they've been together for over 40 years. Amen. So it's been a love thing for over 40 years. Hallelujah. And so they have taught church. They've taught about the five love languages. I think both of them talk together about the five love languages. And then Minister Mary for the environment is kind of a little bit different, but basically the same information on in a corporate environment. And so they are gifted. I could just sit here and talk about them all night long, but we're going to talk about the five love languages. So I want to give them as much time as possible. So I want to introduce them now, but I want you to know, because I'm going to turn the broadcast over to them, I want you to know that at a certain time in the broadcast, we will be opening up the lines. So as they teach us today, you know, you may want to take some notes. So when the lines are open, you can be able to jump right in. And I'll give you a little hint. If you have something to say, even at that time you have to say it, you can press your number one key. If you know that you're going to want to say something to them, press your number one key so you can be in the queue, because I believe we're going to have a lot of people in the queue tonight. So press your number one key, get in the queue, And, you know, as soon as they finish, we're going to begin to open up the line and go through the queue. So those who came earlier, you get to jump in first. Amen. I see you, Pastor Price. Hallelujah. Amen. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to all Ministers Mary and Lenny Yarbrough. Welcome.
But thank you, Barbara, and to my lovely wife for 40 years, Ish Libre Dish.
What?
Ish Libre Dish.
Zeg Tome. Je Tome.
What? What is that?
Je Tome.
Oh, what are you trying to say to me?
Je. So
wait a minute. Are we on mute?
No.
No.
Oh my God. Ish libe dish.
Je t'aime.
Ish libe dish.
Well, tell the audience.
We're just playing around with y'all a little bit here. Well, thank you, Barbara, for such a warm welcome, and we are certainly honored to be on Get 'Em Radio again. And today, of course, like as you've already said, we're going to be speaking on the five love languages, Gary Chapman's book. We love this particular topic, and it's a lot of fun. And we open up with a little skit that we kind of put together. Ich liebe dich is German for I love you.
And je t'aime is French for I love you.
So since we were going to be talking about these languages, we thought that that little skit would bring out how important knowing the right language to speak to a particular person, okay? Obviously Mary doesn't speak German, and I don't speak French. So even though we were trying to show our affections to one another by telling each other that we love each other, we were not speaking the language that either of us understood. So, I love you.
I love you.
So let's jump right into what we came to talk about, the five love languages. And the Word of God really defines love, I think, best. Well, maybe it's not best, but what speaks to me is 1 Corinthians 13, chapters 13, 4 through, and verses 4 through 5. Mary, read that verse.
So First Corinthians, please. 13, 4 through 5, and by the way, this is the scripture that we actually had at our wedding. And in our wedding program, this is the scripture that we use. And it reads, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong.
So the question really becomes, how do you bottle 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 5? How do you refine it to the form of a fuel that energizes your loved one's life, inevitably fills their fuel tank? So the book Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman suggests ways to turn love, get this, to turn love into that fuel, and then helps you to identify what type of fuel your loved one runs best on.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an overview of the book and just, you know, give you an overview of what it's talking about. And first of all, I want to repeat again. It's called The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts, and it's written by the best-selling New York Times bestseller author Gary Chapman. And Gary Chapman has actually written several versions of that. The one that I actually did in corporate America was The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, and it's called Empowering Organization by Encouraging People. And he co-wrote that with author Paul White. So if you're looking for some really great books, whether it's for your marriage relationship, whether it's for relationships that you have at work or relationships with children, with your children, relationships with your parents, any type of relationship, I believe that this book actually covers all types of relationships. And I really believe that it was God-inspired. Gary Chapman is definitely a Christian man, and he practices Christian therapy. So he gleans a lot of his information from the Word of God. And I do believe that it was really God-inspired. And even when I look at, you know, just how God relates to us, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, I used to always wonder, why is there different preaching styles? Why is there different different religion, all under the umbrella of being a Christian and believing in Jesus Christ? Why is there different types of religion? But I think God took that concept of being able to speak different languages to affect all different types of people. You guys know that there are preachers that you like to listen to. And probably you like to listen to those preachers because they're speaking a particular language. It may be a spiritual type of language to you that resonates with your spirit and builds up your inner man.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then there are some preachers that, you know, that you listen to. It's not that they're not good preachers. It's not that they're not speaking the word, but they may not be speaking your spiritual language. And you kind of just like, they're good, but they're not for me. And that's really kind of the concept of the five languages of love as well.
Now, I'd like to interject real quickly before you go into this overview,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to talk about the love tank and falling in love and the five languages and so forth and so on. I just like to make sure that everybody understands that, you know, the purpose of this book really, and write this down, you all, the purpose of this book is to focus on the kind of love that is essential.
Yes.
So focus on the kind of love that is essential to our emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
See, love is an intangible thing, so it can slip away. It can easily become something that it shouldn't be. And guess what? When it is what it should be, it can easily become something that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we put up with each other for 40 years.
Yeah.
More than 40 years. I can remember when we were kids and we'd go to St. Louis and go to our little park that we call our park right there, underneath the arch and all this kind of stuff. And believe me, I had to really show some love and some appreciation when Mary used to make us wear those sweaters that were the same we'd have to look the exact same. You know, we'd go take pictures and stuff like that.
We still do that.
But this book, as Mary starts to get into the overview here, this book is to focus on the kind of love, because there are different languages, and then there's different dialects of those languages. But this book is to focus on the kind of love that is essential to our emotional health. We're talking about intangible things here. And we're talking about intangible tools to manage intangible things.
Yeah.
Love is an intangible thing or an emotion that requires intangible tools to manage it. And we're going to give you some tools. And the first tool that we're going to work on and present is words of affirmation. But Mary's going to give you the overview here.
So, you know, we came across this book by Gary Chapman probably about maybe 30 years ago.
Wow, have we lived that long?
And we had been married probably about 10 years, and we were having some challenges, some difficulties in our marriage. And I could remember praying to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I went looking on the internet, and I was looking for Christian marriage counselors. And I came across this book, The Five Love Languages. And when I came across the book, then I went and I found the book, and I say, Lynn, we've got to read this book.
And I bought a whole box of them and gave them to all of the kids and to whoever would take one.
So we read the book, and the thing that I loved about the book was it actually helped me to recognize what kind of love I was seeking. So let's get into it. One of the first things that the book actually talks about is a love tank, that every person is born with this love tank.
Within them.
Within them. And the love tank is a part of us that represents our emotional need for love. So that's any person, married or not married, every person has that love tank.
So please write down those words, love tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a person normally has a tendency to speak the language that fills their own love tank.
Interesting.
So if you observe a child and, you know, how they are, you can pretty much figure out what their love, what fills their love tank, because they are exhibiting to others what they actually need themselves. Now, when the love tank is empty, it can cause hurt, dysfunction, and stagnant growth.
Hmm. That's powerful right there.
So that stagnant growth and that dysfunction shows itself up in the relationships that you have with others. So it doesn't matter if it's a relationship with your spouse, a relationship with your coworker, a relationship with your child, a relationship with your parents. When that love tank is empty and when it's not filled, it's going to show up.
And, you know, 40 years out, right? We've been married 40 years, but we were, like, dating from, like, middle school, which is, like, you know, 40 years out now. You know, July 26th will be 40 years. Does your tank sometimes still be empty? Is it sometimes not full?
Yes, and it is sometimes not full. But because I recognize in me, like I said, I recognize what kind of love that I'm seeking, then I can tell you when I'm you know, feeling that that love tank is empty.
And because I know what your love language is.
Yes.
I know what to do to fill that tank, right?
Right.
And I don't do anything else but what you're supposed to do. I don't speak German. You don't speak French. We know exactly what to do.
And in a spiritual sense as well, when I know that I'm feeling that way and that my love tank may be low, then I know to go to God, and I know what to ask him for as well to help me to get through that period of time. And God knows what to bring into my life to fill that love tank.
And as a husband, I know, like I did yesterday, out the blue, hey, let's go to Gus's Chicken.
Yes.
That filled your love tank, didn't it?
Well, because we spent time together.
We spent time together.
Mm-hmm.
That is a love language.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And that is your love language. That is your primary love language. But anyway, get back into this overview. We were talking about the love tank.
Now, when the love tank is filled, it's a beautiful thing. Marriages are more fulfilling. There's continued growth, and marriages could last longer when that love tank is filled. With a child, they say when a child's love tank is filled, that child can grow up to be a productive adult.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about how to fill those love tanks. Now, in the book, he talks about, where marriage is concerned, that falling in love experience, the in-love experience is what he calls it.
Yeah.
And that in-love experience is what happens when you first start dating.
When you first get together.
Yeah, when you first get together and you got the tingles and,
right.
You know, you look at one another and there's absolutely nothing that the person can do wrong, and the person may have flaws, but you never notice those flaws or anything like that because you're in what's called the in-love experience. And it can feel like heaven on earth, that in-love experience, when you hold each other's hand and you feel like you're one and, you know, your blood is flowing with his blood, and it's
euphoric.
Yeah, it's euphoric. It's an awesome feeling. But scientists have actually gone in and studied that in-love experience. And that in-love experience has an average lifespan of only 2 years.
I mean, he talks about this encounter he had with this guy on a plane who had been married 3 times.
Yes.
And he said, you know, one marriage only lasted like 6 months or something like that.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so you know, we'll get into that. But this falling in love, this in-love experience is what people get kind of mixed up on.
Yeah, and the guy that he met on the plane, who had been married 3 times, he was asking the doctor, you know, what happens to love? And then the doctor was explaining to him about this in-love experience. So what he eventually told the gentleman is that after the in-love experience is over,
mm-hmm.
then you have to pursue real love. And what he means by pursue real love is that it actually involves an act of will and requires discipline and recognizes the need for personal growth.
That's powerful right there. You know, that's like saying you know, if I was a kid and I didn't keep my room straightened up and all this kind of stuff like this, or I did this or did that a certain kind of way, now as an adult in a relationship that we're trying to communicate and keep going, I may have to change some things. Mm-hmm. I may have to evolve, if you will.
Yeah, and that's what he means by it's an act of your will.
Right.
And that it requires...
It's
a choice. And that it requires actual personal discipline, and it also requires you and me to recognize that growth is needed.
Right.
Personally, between us and together, growth is needed. So I want to say one thing before I get into the five languages and stuff. You know, I talk about those 30 years ago when me and Lenny were having challenges after we had been married about 10 years. And God had, you know, I had to pray to God after we found this book. I prayed to God. And, you know, it's just something when God gives you a word, when he gives you a word that you can hang on to, that you can cling to, that you can put an anchor to hold things together. And his word to me was, and you and I tell young married couples, I tell them this all the time. You got to find the word that God has for your marriage. And the word that he gave me was, two are better than one. And that resonated with me in my spirit. And the other word that he gave me is that love never fails. And what God explained to me, he says that I needed to believe him, believe that word, that love never fails, that my love for Lenny would never fail. Lenny's love for me would never fail, that our love for each other would never fail. Our love for God would never fail. And certainly, God's love for us individually and together as a married couple would never fail. And I'm going to tell you this. I have held on to that word. Even to this day, I've held on to that word. When things get tough, and anyone who's been married more than a day knows that sometimes things get tough. But God is there. God is there. And when you have that word to hold on to, then that's when God begins to move.
And, you know, this falling in love thing is the obsession. It's the obsession with one another. But when that 2-year period expires, you know, the obsession wears away, and then it becomes the reality of things.
Yeah.
And about along this time that Mary's talking about, she was having her battles, and I was having my battles.
Yes.
And my battles were, not only was I responsible for sustaining us day to day. We're talking about a kid from the projects now, okay? All right? But I was responsible for growing us, for evolving us, for developing us, for moving us forward, okay? And I had to bring along all of the baggage that she brought to the table and all of the baggage that I brought to the table. Right? And so we needed some help.
Yes.
We needed some guidance.
Yes.
And the word that God gave to me as the provider in the family, as the leader in the family, was Jeremiah 29:11. And he had to tell me this scripture because it was straight from his mouth.
Yes.
I didn't need to hear it from anybody else. I need to hear it straight from God to say, this is the plan that I have for you.
Amen.
To prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future.
Amen.
And that resonates today with me. Right? Today. I can tell you some stories about how we went about trying to do this ourselves and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But still God was there and still God's plan was in motion for us.
Yes.
You know. Oh, Mary, you know, Mary's job was to hang in there. Just hang on, you know. It's going to be okay. my job was to take that hill, you know. But anyway, I know we're kind of getting a little bit more into it. We got one more thing in the overview. We've talked about the love tank. And we've talked about the falling in love that really only lasts two years.
Yeah.
The guy on the plane that was talking to Gary Chapman said, you know, my one marriage only lasts two years, and they got a divorce.
Yeah.
Because the falling in love, the obsession stopped and the reality began. Okay. Now there's one more piece to this overview.
So let me actually introduce to you what the five languages are. So I'm going to list them, and then I'll go back and give just a short, you know, definition of each one. So the five languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of services, and physical touch.
Now, I got to tell you, you got to read about 50 pages before you get those that list. So repeat them again so that they can write them down.
All right. The first one is words of affirmation.
Which is what we'll talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. The second one is quality time. The third one is receiving gifts. The fourth one is acts of services. And then the fifth one is physical touch.
Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch.
All right, so words of affirmation is just speaking positive words, and we'll go more into that tonight. We'll get more in depth on words of affirmation. Quality.
You're doing an awesome job on this overview.
Oh. he just gave an example of words of affirmation.
But anyway.
All right, quality time is actually giving focused attention to your loved one. Receiving gifts is giving visual symbols of love. Acts of services is a physical expression of a thoughtful gesture. And then physical touch is a way of communicating emotional love through touch. All right, so we're going to talk about just the first one tonight, words of affirmation. Now, before we do that, I want you to think about something. This is an activity, and I don't want you to answer right now. I want you to think about it. So later on when she opens up the line, if you press your number one button, then you can give an answer. Now, there's no right or wrong answer to this, but it is a matter of discussion for us, and it helps us to see things sort of in a broader kind of way. So let's take a look at, for this activity, famous couples. And based on just what you know right now from the overview, the five languages that were just introduced to you and the definitions that were given, guess what the love language that these couples speak to each other. All right? So we're going to talk about some Bible couples. So we got Adam and Eve. What were their love languages? Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rachel. How about Boaz and Ruth? Or maybe even Joseph and Mary. Can you guess what their love languages are? All right, let's talk about some other famous couples. How about Fred and Wilma Flintstone?
Wait a minute. Those are cartoon characters. But they were in a relationship.
Maybe Barney and Betty Rubble.
Hmm.
How about Homer and Marge Simpson?
Now, hold it. Hold it. Hold it right there. Homer and Marge Simpson.
They have a lot. It may be some dysfunction there, but there's a love language there. What about Mickey and Minnie? What are their love languages?
Man, I can't wait to hear what these answers will be.
How about let's talk about some TV couples. What about George and Louise Jefferson? Now, some of y'all might be kind of young on the phone, and you may not remember the Jefferson. How about...
Moving on up. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. How about Ricky and Lucy Ricardo? Or maybe modern-day couples, Andre and Rainbow from Blackish. Or, if you're from my generation, Mike and Carol Brady. So think about, as we're going through words of affirmation, and just based on the overview that we've given you from the five languages, what are the love languages that these couples speak to each other? All right. Now, we're moving on to words of affirmation.
So getting right into the core of the lesson here, I have a primary objective that I would like to reach, and then we have three enabling objectives. So it's going to be a pretty quick lesson, but we took the time to give you an overview of the book today. In the future lessons, we won't go so deep into an overview. Rather, we'll get right to the love language, which is where we are right now. So today, our primary objective is, by the end of today's lesson, you will be able to define and apply words of affirmation. You will be able to articulate words that energizes your loved one's life by filling his or her fuel tank designed by God to run on words of affirmation. And to help carry out this primary object, to help meet this goal, we have three sub-objectives that Mary's going to list out for us here.
Okay, we're going to define the words of affirmation. And number two, we're going to, as a positive, introduce the words of affirmation. And number three, we're going to talk about the effects of the absence of words of affirmation.
And then we'll get into some examples. So let's get started. Words of affirmation are words that communicate your love, your appreciation, and respect for another person. As Mary pointed out, the book is really written for marriages. But he also wrote a book for the workplace. And we took it a step further to say, you can apply these same principles to any relationship that you have. So words of affirmation are words that communicate your love, appreciation, and respect for another person. They are positive words positive words and phrases that may be spoken or written, words that confirms, supports, uplifts, and empathizes with another person in a positive manner. I know everybody wants, like, I'm never saying a negative word again now. I know what words of affirmation means now. You know, that is what I've been trying to get my spouse to understand, you know. But guess what? If you're saying that that's something that you want, that's likely your love language, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mary, when we talk in different, when we speak English, right? You go to Alabama, people speak a different dialect. They speak differently than people in California. We've been to both. New Yorkers speak differently than people in New Orleans. You know, in New Orleans, they say we're going to make groceries, right? Here we say we're going to go to the grocery store, you know, and buy groceries, you know. So there's different dialects of words of affirmation, right? So tell us about those dialects.
All right. So words of affirmation, there are different dialects, and I'm just going to mention just a few of them here. One is a verbal compliment.
Mm.
So in the book, he talks about, the author speaks about a lady that came to his office, and she said, "I am so upset because I am trying to get my husband to paint my bedroom, and he will not do it.
It's hard to paint a bedroom.
I have asked him over and over again, and he won't do it." And I go in there on one Saturday, and instead of him painting the bedroom, he's in there cleaning the memory off of his computer.
That sounds a lot better than painting the bedroom. But nevertheless, I digress.
So the doctor asked her several questions, and he told her, he said, "Does your husband ever do anything right?"
Right. Good question.
And so then she said, "Yes, he does things right." So then he was like, "Okay, so this is what I want you to do. Every time your husband does something right, I want you to compliment him on doing it right." And she said, "How is that going to help me get my bedroom painted?" So the doctor said to her, "You came to me for help.
Telling you what to do.
And I'm telling you what to do, and please do what I'm asking you to do." So every time he takes out the trash, you go to him and you say, "Thank you, honey, for taking out the trash. You did such a good job."
He got out there on time.
Yes.
No trash all over the place. Oh, man, you did great.
Every time he cuts the grass, every time he does, maybe if he picks up one of the children, pays the bill, give him a compliment every time he does that. So about 3 weeks later, the lady came back to the doctor's office, and she said, "Doctor, it worked. It worked. I complimented my husband every time that he did something, and guess what? He painted the bedroom." So what was she doing? She was giving him verbal compliments, and every time she gave him a verbal compliment, it was filling his love tank.
That is correct. Now, there's one word that I associate with verbal compliments to help me understand quickly what that means. And that word is motivation.
Yes.
When you compliment a person whose love language is affirmation, words of affirmation, when you use that dialect, verbal compliments, it fills their tank and it motivates them.
Yes, one of the positive effects.
One of the positive effects.
Yeah. The next one is encouraging words. Now, I must say that Lenny is great at giving encouraging words. When you have a spouse that's going through things, maybe something is going on at work, you know, and your spouse is encouraging you. Perhaps you have a talent that's hidden, and what I mean by it's hidden, that no one else sees, and your spouse sees it, and your spouse gives you encouraging words to go forward with that talent that you've had hidden, and perhaps it turns into, you know, something bigger than what you ever even dreamed or thought of. Encouraging words can also motivate your spouse and give them that lift that they need to go further, to do better.
Right. So the one word that I have that helps me to focus on encouraging words is courage.
Yes. Gives you the courage.
It gives
That's
me
right.
the courage.
Yes.
To, you know, encouraging words give me the courage.
Yes.
You know, I always ask Mary, hey, Mary, because I'm a musician too, you know, a professional musician. And I always, and here lately I've been trying to diversify my music because I have a different audience in Memphis than I have in Nashville or whatever. And so I needed to be able to play different kind of music that I'm not necessarily familiar with, right? And so I played this song by Anthony Hamilton. It was called Can't Let Go, right? And I was practicing, I got it up, you know, and I was like, man, I don't know if I should play this. And I say, Mary, listen to this for me. She was very busy doing her work, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Okay. And she took the time to listen to this song. She said, you know what? That sounds great. That's good. But you need to do this. You need to play it this kind of way. And I played it the way she said play. She said, now that's going to work right there. I got to the concert that night, the next night, and I played that song. And people had their phones out recording, and they were like, this is awesome, okay? All right, I get excited about this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you off track. What's the next dialect?
The next dialect is kind words. I often say sometimes on my birthday, I just want to sit and rest and people be kind to me. Where by profession, I am a manager, a leader by profession. And as you know, as a leader sometimes, you don't always get kind words. And when your spouse can give you those kind words, those words, you're beautiful, I appreciate you, I love you, those type of things like that, a kind word from your spouse goes a long way. And it's almost like a balm, something soothing. Like when, you know, you have, a sore and you put a balm on your sore or you put an ointment on your sore to soothe it, that's what kind words do.
Now, it's important, one thing real quick, it's important to say those kind words with the correct tone.
Yes.
You know, you look so beautiful. I don't know if he really meant that or not. But if you say, wow, baby, you look beautiful today, you know I mean it, all right?
Yes.
Kind words are verbal form of love, basically.
And then the next one is humble words. Humble words are words that are not demanding. And you're not, is like Lenny said, that tone, you're not being demanding. But you may be able to, you know, ask for something or something, and you're being humble.
Request versus.
Yeah, yes. And you're requesting and you're being humble. And you're saying how you appreciate your spouse or appreciate your loved one by being humble. So humbling words are very, very important. And then the last one, that dialect is saying positive things about your spouse or about your loved one when they are not present.
Powerful.
Eventually, by you saying positive things about your spouse, it's going to get back to your spouse that you said that positive thing. And for a person whose love language is words of affirmation, that is a for sure tank filler. So those are the dialects that we talked about tonight: verbal compliments, encouraging words, kind words, humble words, saying positive things when your spouse or your loved one is not present. And just like we said before, even though we're talking about this in the context of marriage, it is, these words are ring true for any type of relationship. If you're raising children and you discover that your child is a word of affirmation child, there are some children that if they get in trouble and you just say something to them, I'm disappointed in you or something of that nature, that is worse to them than a spanking, is worse to them than, you know, taking their tablets and their phones away, is worse to them than, you know, doing a timeout and being isolated. That verbal word is worse to them if their love language is worse than affirmation. So you have to be really considerate, even with your children, what you say to them. So let's move on because we are running a little bit out of time. We got about a couple more minutes to cover our next few things here.
And we basically and really we just want to just generally talk about quickly what positive effect does words of affirmation have as the ideal fuel for a person's fuel tank. What do you think about that, Mary?
Okay, so the giving and receiving of love in a relationship is very important, and that is a specific type of fuel. Even when you use specific type of fuels for a car,
right?
That giving and receiving of words of affirmation is a type of fuel.
Right, and it's a specific type of fuel. Words of affirmation is like gas.
Yeah.
But then the verbal compliment, the encouraging words, is like 87, you know, 93, or premium versus just regular fuel. You know what I'm saying? It's the different types of gas that you can use. You know, certainly in any relationship, observation really is the key. See, it didn't take me 40 years to know that Mary's love language was quality time, but I observed and I learned. Understanding inevitably paves the road to the best type of communication. So if you have observed that your loved one is drawn to or responds to words of affirmation, you will find that it is because they believe that words matter.
Yeah.
They believe that what you say matters,
yeah.
Right?
And if you have someone who speaks a different love language, you know, whether it's acts of services or quality time or receiving gifts, and their loved one language is words of affirmation, then they really have to learn how to speak a different language. Just like when Lenny and I were speaking at the beginning, he was speaking German and I was speaking French to him. We would need to understand each other. I would need to learn German, and then he would need to learn French in order for us to communicate with one another. So if your love language is not words of affirmation, you got to learn that language.
And, you know, have you ever heard this quote? I know Mary has. I may not remember what you said, but I remember how you made me feel. See, when you can feel a person's love tank, right? You make them feel a certain kind of way. You get in there. So reinforcing a person's belief that words of affirmation will actually evoke happiness, enthusiasm, and desire. In this state of mind, you can find the most flourishing creative processes. Calmness, and even joy. Okay? Now, what about the effect of using the wrong fuel?
Yeah. If you put the wrong fuel in a physical car, you know that there will be repercussions from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. If you're putting the wrong fuel into a person's love tank, then there's going to be repercussions from that, and it can be a complete breakdown.
Right.
So once again, you got to learn what that person's love language is, and if it's words of affirmation, you got to learn those dialects and then be able to use those to put the right fuel in there to prevent a complete breakdown.
Know what fuel to use. So, I would venture to say, as we bring this to a close, and we're going to try to have some time to open it up here. So I would venture to say that without fuel or the correct type of fuel, one would experience a loss of physical energy, sadness, frustration, lack enthusiasm, lack intimacy, and be less productive as a human being in general. This would be all because their tank has either the wrong fuel in it or no fuel at all.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's share some examples of words of affirmation real quickly. Okay, so we might say to our loved one, hey, everything is better when you are here. You have another one, Mary?
I appreciate you when you do dot, dot, dot.
Well, what about this? I couldn't do this without you.
Oh, you really look good in that new outfit. It looks great on you.
I have to use that one a lot. I am so lucky to be with you.
I'm so thankful to have you in my life.
It impressed me when you did dot, dot, dot.
Thank you for dot, dot, dot.
So, to recap, our primary objective was that you would be able to define and apply words of affirmation. We have defined it. You know, hopefully you'll be able to articulate these words that energizes, not take away, but energizes your loved one's life by filling his or her tank designed by God to run on words of affirmation. Now, we're just talking about one of the languages tonight, words of affirmation.
Yes.
There are four others, making it a total of five. You need to know what your spouse's or your loved one's love language is. And you can find it out by the way they respond to different things.
That's right.
What they're acting. Like me, mine is acts of service. You will find me doing stuff around the house, whatever, washing clothes. I'm not one of these male guys that they can't wash and cook. I make them breakfast every morning.
Every morning.
You know, and everybody eats. Not just Mary, everybody eats in the house. You see what I'm saying? And Mary, hers is quality time.
Yes.
When I take the time to focus on Mary, she sucks that up. That just does something to her, you know. And that has sustained us, that back and forth like that, for 40 years. So we have some enabling objectives, and Mary will list those for us again.
So tonight we talked about defining the words of affirmation. We also talked about words of affirmation as a positive, and then we talked about the effects of the absence of words of affirmation. So we have concluded this section, a session on words for affirmation. So we're going to turn it back over to Apostle Bobby, and we're going to open up the line for...
to see what the people think about those couples, right?
For remarks and questions.
Amen. We got the cheering section here with us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Beautiful words of affirmation. You guys did a great job today. Amen. You really flowed together. Hallelujah. And I really appreciate you all. Glory to God. Amen. I learned some things tonight. Amen. Fill up that love tank. Hallelujah. Amen. And
amen.
I made a few notes. I get to talk because I'm the host. Hallelujah.
I humbly submit.
So I'll say this to others. Pastor Price, Pastor Number One Key. We know Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine are going to be first, so, you guys get ready. Anyone else, if you have any questions, any comments, you want to give them some positive affirmations, praise God, press your number one key. Amen. Amen. But, you know, as I listened to that today, there was so much that just really blessed me. You know, I don't know if I have multiple love languages or what, but I do like words of affirmation. But what I was thinking, I remember someone not too long ago was giving me these beautiful words of affirmation, and I'm like, why are you saying that to me? You know, and it came across, maybe it was me, I don't know, but I think, when you say the words of affirmation, it ought to come from your heart. You know, I kind of felt like this person was kind of sucking up for some reason, or she felt like I needed to hear that, and I would be a certain way towards her if I heard that or something. But anyway, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But usually... words of affirmation, those positive words, are just like a blessing. And I think it makes a difference when it really comes from somebody's heart. You know,
yes. Tone is very important when you're dealing with words of affirmation.
And let me say this as well. You know, everyone doesn't just have one love language.
Right.
You can have multiple love language in different varying degrees.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You basically tend to have a primary love language, a language that you operate in most of the time.
Right.
And then you have a secondary love language.
Mm-hmm.
Like my primary love language is acts of service, and my secondary love language is quality time.
And let me say one other thing, Apostle. I have been accused of saying things to people, words of affirmation to people, because that's another one of my love languages. And people have said to me that, you know, they thought I was being fake. But I was trying to show them I wasn't. I was trying to show them love. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to show them appreciation.
Kind words.
Yeah, and that was not their love language.
Right.
They were like, why are you saying this to me? Because I don't need your words. You know,
I'm that way. My love language is acts of services. If you really want to impress me or really move me or make me feel something or fill my tank, help me cut the grass. Bring me a cup of water while I'm out there cutting the grass.
Right. Not coming out there saying, oh, I not that he doesn't want me to say I love you, but I love you, Lenny. You're the greatest guy. He'll appreciate that, but he would appreciate the glass of water or help with cutting the grass more.
And I won't be mean back. It's just that's not my love language.
Right.
That didn't feel my pain.
Right. Amen. Well, and then
I thought about
a few things like the verbal compliment. You know, when people do things right. Now, there's a book that I was really into years ago called The 1 Minute Manager. And it's something there, and God uses, you know, those things. And one is really catch somebody doing it the right way, doing something right, and let them know,
right.
You know, how you doing that right. That's great. You know, I mean, today, Mom put on, we had the exterminators come in, and she put her mask on by herself. And I was like, wow. I was genuinely blessed by that. I was like, wow, Ma, you put your mask on all by yourself.
That's
so
wonderful.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
that's motivating.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I like your one word thing on motivation and courage. That was good. So there was something else that I wanted to say. I was trying to make little notes here. This thing about positive things when people are not present. What I thought about was, you know how it, well, from the opposite view, but like if a person is talking about somebody and in a bad way, and they come into the room, or anyway, and they come into the room, but mostly a bad way, and they come in, they can feel that. If that's ever happened to any of you guys, you know, you walk in a room and all of a sudden it's like, what, y'all talking about me? You know, but it works the opposite way as well. Go ahead.
That's correct. You know, I worked 37 years for the federal government, and now after I've retired, I have 2 kids that work there now, right? So when they come home, they tell me, oh, Dad, such and such and such said, hey, tell your dad I said hello. We just love him. We miss him, you know.
Amen.
You know. And those words get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so you might as well send the words of affirmation around, right?
Amen. That's good.
Build people love times.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's such a good one right there. Positive things are said when you're not around, when you're not present. That's beautiful. Okay, I know people want to say something, and so we're going to begin to open up the lines, but I had to say my little something-something first. So Okay. What happened to your Pastor Price?
What about Mom and Cat?
I had seen her number one key press, and she kind of disappeared for a minute, but we're going to Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine first. And anyone else now, press your number one key. If you have your number one key pressed, I do not see you. Text me if you do, because you know we have a finicky number one key sometimes. Okay, Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine, we're opening up your line. Welcome, Pastor Mom. Colonel, is your mute on? Is your mute on? Pastor Catherine, is the mute on?
And really good to you, Deborah.
Oh.
And I just say thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
So I carry on. Okay, but
can you hear her? Can you all hear her?
I hear her now.
Okay. I thank the Lord for all of the good things that you all carry on and it makes me feel good. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you. I've been knowing her ever since she said, you can come over.
You can come over.
but I can tell you that her love language is quality time, and her secondary love language, words of affirmation. And because those things have carried us a long way.
Amen. You can come over. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Pastor Mom. Oh, wait, y'all got to pray for her.
Yes. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory. I am continuously blessed to have such a wonderful mother, and I know that that blessing comes from you, Lord. I thank you for my mama every single day, and I thank you, Lord God, that she continues to have such a mighty purpose on this earth and in my life, Lord God. I bless you and thank you for her continued health, good health, her continued strength, and just all of the wonderful things and the prayers that she has for not only me, but everyone in our whole family. So I bless you, Lord, for my mama. And I bless my mama in the name of Jesus. And I just give you thanks. And I just want to say I love you, mama, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Catherine, thank you for that prayer, Mary.
Praise God. Yes, thank you so much for the prayer. And I just want to thank both of you tonight. And you all, you work so well together. You just did that so well together. Thank you all. Thank you for the time that you took out to review the book again and taking, sacrificing your time to tell us about this. This is really good. I know I'm going to just... try my best to have someone to go back into the archives and listen to this. But first of all, I want to, I hope I gave you some kind words there.
Thank you, Kat. I really appreciate that, Pastor Kat. It always, you know, every time, I was kind of like taught this several times, but every time that we go over the book together and teach it together, We just learn something different, even ourselves, every single time. And I would say to people that if you've read this book before, pick it up again, because I believe that God will give you even more golden nuggets out of it for yourself and for your relationships.
And I believe even as you all are pouring out to others, that God is also doing something in your own marriage, that he's building things in your own marriage. Praise God.
Praise God. Yes,
ma'am. Oh, ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. I mean, we are humans.
Right.
We are subject to challenge at the 40-year mark.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I didn't get, I was doing something for my, what did you all say that the definition was for affirmation?
The definition for affirmation is words of affirmation are words that communicate your love, appreciation, and respect for another person. They are positive words and phrases that may be spoken or written. They are words that confirms, supports, uplifts, and empathizes with another person in a positive manner. And we can send that to you, so you don't have to try to write
that
down.
Because I didn't write all that. I got the most important part of it. Okay. But as you all was speaking tonight, I was kind of going back and kind of looking at my grandkids. And don't you all think, too, that everybody has needs some parts of that tank filled with some parts of this here, affirmation here, because...
Yeah. Well, I think you can break it down, Kat, and confidently say that every single person on the planet has a love tank, period.
Right, amen. Amen. Well, when you all were speaking about some of the verbal things that you say to someone, I forgot what y'all said it is. But anyway, you were saying that sometimes you can speak to a child and it's just like a spanking to them.
Yes.
One of my grandkids, if you say, "Why did you do that?" Oh, boy, you thought somebody picked up a extension cord and hit her with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to come up first. What I do is I'll try to come to her with some kind words. Now,
right.
Willow, now remember what we said? That we're not, I have to just come and, say some kind words and not come to her with, like, "Don't do that," and it's just like, it really breaks her down. But if I come to her with kind words, you won't hear any screaming or anything from her. And then the other one, if I see that I'm in the kitchen doing something and she'll come and start helping me with the dishes or something, and I say, "Oh, wow, that is so great. Thank you so much," and she just even start doing things even better. So I just see that in them, and I just want to say thank you all so much. And then I want to say also about the when you're speaking to someone when they're not there. And what came to me was, how some husbands and wives, when you're around other people, and some people, they want to pull that, look like if the husband say, make a comment or something, they want to pull the husband down. But I think even when you're with someone else, you ought to always be building your husband up. He ought to always be your king. The wife ought to always be your queen. No matter what they say, you're not going to pull them down. And I just think there still ought to be words of kindness, words of positive words they ought to be continuing to give to them. But that would fall also in this affirmation, right?
Yes. That's wonderful, Kat. And I really like the comment that you made about your grandchildren and the comment that you just made about, because that's a good point to bring out about spouses as well, is, you know, when they're in the presence of other couples and, you know, they might be sitting around talking about, you know, certain things, to still continue to lift up your spouse. So you're absolutely correct about that. Now, let me ask you something, Kat, before you run off. Let me ask you something. So, you know, that activity I gave at the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you have any couples in mind that you wanted to, that you might want to talk about?
I don't know, but I thought we were going to do that at the end, but we're going to do that now for each one of the love languages that you all gave.
Well, you can think about it, and you can do it at the end of the series. That's fine too. Once you hear all of them.
But Kat, I'm gonna tell you, one of your grandkids, the one that's hurt by the words, see, words matter to her. So her love language is words of affirmation, because words matter to her.
Yeah,
that's good.
The other one is acts of services, because she shows love by doing things for people. And you can identify with that because your love language is acts of services, because I can tell you, you love to do stuff for people.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you all so much here.
I love you, Kat.
Yep.
Love you all.
Amen. Hey, okay, I don't see anybody's number one key press. Pastor Price, I'm going to open up your line. Anyone else? Press your number one key. Pastor Price?
God bless you all. God bless you. I got out of the queue because I thought maybe it was somebody else that needed to be able to say something, and I was hitting the button too quick.
Okay.
Glory to God. But I took good notes today, but I'll say something now. I thought it was somebody behind me, or I thought I'm going to give somebody else an opportunity to be able to say something. That's why I came out of the queue. But I really enjoyed everything tonight. I had not heard of Gary Chapman's books on the five languages of love, but I thank God that I was able to really take some really good notes on the purpose of why you're doing this, the love tank, our emotional need for love, how to feel those love tanks, and then you gave the five languages of love. I took them all down. And thank God for that. And then you gave all the names of the different people with the different couples, whether fictional or nonfictional. And I was just looking at some of my favorite, which is Barney and Betty and Mickey and Minnie. and some of their the ones that were my favorite. And then I thank God for the words of affirmation part that you started in today. And you began to define those words of affirmation, words of affirmation, verbal compliments, and those kind of things. And as Lenny said about motivation, and then encouraging words gives courage, and kind words and humble words that are not demanding. And I was sitting here thinking about how when you all were talking about the words of affirmation, it's a wonderful thing to have words of affirmation, but I think I'm more of one that somebody can tell me, but their actions speak louder than words. Whether they really like you, or whether they really care for you, or whether they really, you know, in their heart, because you can see somebody that may say, oh, you know, I like you, and you all right, but then you watch their actions with you, and you watch the way that they treat you,
And so then those kind of things, you go back and you say, now that is not congruent. There's something here that is not congruent. And so you look at it, and so you walk away, and you say, you know, well, I love them, but don't look like they really love me, you know, in that. And so I'm one that I'm like a Barnabas. So in my life, which is he was an encourager, and I like to encourage the hearts of people, but I also understand that encouragement also has to have actions that are congruent and go behind it with it. So I'm just looking at the beginnings I saw on the internet. I went to the internet and looked at some of the sites that are associated with the five languages of love. They even let you take a quiz on there and different things. So I'm excited about this. I'm going to, Lord willing, by the goodness of God, I'll go and get the book and look at it and really take it to heart. And this is one of the questions I would ask for you all. I ask you all this question. That's been one of my things in life, is that I'm either liked by people or I'm either hated by people. I'm either liked by them or they don't care a hill of beans about Helen Price. And a lot of times I get it from different sources and places, and I know that there are things in me that have to be done, and I want to be able to say, whatever I've done to you, please, I apologize. I don't mean no harm. I don't mean no harm. But sometimes you just can't get people to, you know, that will even like you, you know. And so in my lifetime, that's been one of my things, is that when you talk about the language of love, is to see, I'll go in my lifetime, I've gone and I've loved somebody and loved people. I go to hug them and I get a slight with them. And I say, oh, my goodness, I have one of my relatives and I love her so much. And I go to give her a hug. And when I go to give her a hug, she don't want me to hug her. So I have to stand. Then I have to make – then I'll say this. I had one of my relatives that if I went to go and try to hug them, they wouldn't hug me. So then I decided I'm going to do like they're going to do. I'm not going to give them any more hugs. I'm just not going to do it. So I saw them at Kroger and when in my neighborhood. And when I saw them, I went, I stood there. I wouldn't go over to go try to force my way on them or force myself on them. And when I didn't do it, then we were invited to their home. And when we got to their home, they were hot with me because I did not attempt to hug them. And they were hot, I mean, very hot with me. So I said, now, Lord, I came in, I found out two wrongs don't make a right. And you can't treat people the way, and you can't. And that's one of the things that I would, when you talk about the languages of love, because it says love doesn't even notice. One of the characteristics is when it's done wrong. I want to be one that don't notice the slight. And that's why I said in my life, there are people that love me fiercely, that really, really love Helen Price. But on the other end, I got ones that go all the way over to the other end. But then I had to come to this one place in my life, and I'm going to stop. I had to come to the one place in Ephesians 1. That became my scripture in Ephesians 1:6, that I'm accepted by Jesus Christ. I'm accepted. Yeah. So no matter who rejects me, whoever who may not like me, or who may not want to be around me, I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that I don't keep praying for the person. I don't keep saying, Lord, you work that out, you fix that. Now some people have died and still don't like Helen Price, but I hated that I never got a chance to even be in whatever way of reconciled unto them. And then the one thing the Lord said, one time he said to me, I was going to change. I said, if I just lost some weight, maybe they would like me more. The Lord said, then what else are you going to do to get them to like you? So there are things that in this, I'm so excited about this particular message because about the five languages of love, placing where I'm at and as far as gift giving is concerned, that's a nice thing. But it don't mean nothing if it's behind that. If it don't mean a thing. If you give a gift and then it's still this meanness or you can't even have a communication or you feel no love there. So then you realize it's a gift, but it's It's no love behind it. One of my friends in California, she likes to go take people shopping and buy them shoes and good shoes and all those kind of things. And I remember one of my children said, "I don't want her to buy me nothing." So, Mama, I don't want her to buy me nothing because I don't like the way she treats me. I said, "Baby, let her go on and get you something if you want to." She said, "Mama, I don't want nothing from her because I see the way she acts and I don't want it." So I say, "I understand that." So she kind of like was with a mama like that and saying, you know, you want to really that love. So I'm through with that and just saying that with that. But that's the kind of dichotomy that I've had to deal with in my life. I'm loved. I'm loved by Jesus. I'm loved by some people that really love me. But on the other end, I what my equation of love is congruency. Even if it, you know, congruency across, you know, with that. So y'all tell me, address that now, you guys. Wait a minute. Joy said to tell you all that she enjoyed you all speaking in French at the beginning. Get my attention over here while I'm talking. She said, "Tell him that I love them speaking French at the beginning."
I hope I pronounced it right. But Helen, I wanted to say, you know, at the beginning, you know, when I was talking about the love tank, and you know, there are times when, you know, I feel like my love tank is empty. And, you know, God, through you know, his God's revelations in this book, you know, I can recognize that you have done exactly what you're supposed to do, which is to go to God. Amen. We know that this book, just like anything in life, this book is a tool that God has allowed. It's a tool that God has allowed. Yeah, for relationships and for married couples, it's a tool, but you have the ultimate tool, which is our, and you know, our Savior is not a tool, but you have the ultimate one, which is going to him to fill your love tank. Whether someone likes you or doesn't like you, you have the lover of your soul.
I like that. Helen, I love that you have brought this context out, in which you have recapped what we have talked about. But I want to pull you into another context, into the context in which the book was written. See, everybody ain't for everybody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
See, me, the way I feel about you, I love you. I think you're a beautiful person. I think you're a scholar. I know that you have love for family, and you have always treated me well, and I hope I've treated you, reciprocated that. I've tried my best to anyway, because I admire you and I appreciate you, right? But the context in which this discussion, this presentation, this book even, is about relationships in your inner circle. It's about people that you love. It really is about love is what it is. And you hit it right, the nail right on the head. You can have love for everybody, but you can't love everybody, and everybody ain't going to love you. But for the people who count in your life, that's what this is for right here.
And I want to address what you was talking about, the lady that bought gifts. I think that mm-hmm. is a, we haven't talked about receiving gifts, but it really is a great example of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. That was mm-hmm. a great example. That was a great example of that, that even though she was buying gifts, so she was giving, but was she kind?
Right.
Was she, tone. Yeah. Was she, what the word said, was she kind? What did she not boast? Was she not proud? Did she anger easily? So that, and then when we get into giving gifts, we're going to talk about this person that you was talking about. Her tank may have been empty.
Her tank may have been.
It sounds like her tank was really empty, and she was exhibiting the love that she needed somebody to give her. So she was going out, mm-hmm. and she was like, "I'm going to give this love. I'm gonna buy people gifts," because hers could have been gifts, and she was buying people gifts. I don't know the person. I'm just guessing. But it sounds like she was buying people gifts, and not getting that in return to fill up her love tank. So she was, you know, it was some dysfunction.
And those people may not have had the key to get to her love.
Yeah, no one may not have known that was her love tank. Was her love language, mm-hmm. and to fill her tank up in the same way. And because her tank wasn't filled up, that's what we talk about. That's where you become stagnant in growth, where dysfunction begins to display itself. So that sounds like that's a perfect example of that.
Very good
so
discussion.
When we see people that are like that, and I'm sure that you did this, when we see people like that, and now that we have this knowledge and we begin to recognize that, then again we go back to the Father. And we begin to pray and say, God, you know, what do I need to do in this situation?
We have to evoke his omnipotence.
We have used this in the workplace, the five languages of appreciation in the workplace. And I recognize sometimes with some of my employees, words of affirmation do not work. Sometimes quality time with employees do not work. But sometimes, you know, I can, when I hear employees say, you know, either say directly to me or say, you know, maybe in a roundabout way, my manager never gives me anything. They never bring snacks, or they never give us any kind of gifts or anything like that. Then what pops up in my head immediately is that person's love language is receiving gifts. And they may be a giver, and no one is giving back to them. And they need that tank filled by receiving gifts.
And it may not be your responsibility to fill that tank.
Yeah.
It may be somebody else's.
Yeah.
Responsibility to fill that tank.
Yeah, but in a work type of situation, you know, you want people to feel valued and you want people to feel appreciated. So you do, you know, me as a manager, I'm going to go to the Lord and ask for guidance and wisdom in that situation and let him lead and guide me in that situation. But I just said that was a really great example.
That was awesome right there.
That was a great example.
I think you got it, Helen. I think you got it.
Thank you all, and God bless you. And thank you all for what you all are doing. I'm looking forward to these weeks to come.
All right. Thank you. Love you.
Love you. And going back on mute.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Price. Hallelujah. So, Ministers Mary and Lenny, y'all just rest for a few minutes. First, I want to give a shout out to a couple of people on the line here. Minister Rachel, I just know that this is some good information with between you and your children and everything. You'll have to tell us about that as time goes on. Shout out to Sister Joanne and Minister Carey. Good to see you all on the line tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So, y'all bros, y'all rest for a few moments. We always pray the prayer of salvation. We're going to do that now. We're going to talk about what's going on in our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Then we'll come back to you guys for closing remarks and closing prayer. Praise God. So you guys can put your phones on mute for a little bit, and we'll be back with you in a few moments here, more than a few moments, but we'll be back with you. Amen. Amen. So if you are you've listened to this broadcast and God is touching your heart, and you don't know for sure that you are born again, that you are saved, this is your time to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. God is love, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God not only loves you, he so loves you, and he wants you to be born again. He wants you to be saved, and he tells us exactly how to do it. It's many other scriptures in the Bible, but we're going to look at Romans 10 and verse 9. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not maybe saved, not might be saved, but you shall be saved. Starts off saying, if you confess with your mouth. Well, confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. And believing in your heart is making a decision to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. The accounts in the Bible, you believe that Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead. You make a choice to believe what the word of God is saying, because none of us were there 2,000 years ago. We didn't see it. So we have to make a choice to believe it. Hallelujah. And as we believe and we confess or we say the prayer, then we are saved. Hallelujah. So repeat this prayer after me. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way and help me to follow you. And now I know to the Bible, I am saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you said that prayer for the first time, you are born again. You might not say it. You might be listening to our podcast. It may not be April the 7th, 2022. It may be further on in the future. But as you said that prayer, you are saved right then and there. Hallelujah. So we want to pray for you. And first of all, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We want to welcome you as our brother in the Lord. We want to welcome you today. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we want to pray over you. Lord, right now we just lift them up to you. We thank you, Lord God, that you fill them with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. Right now, in the name of Jesus, power to live right, power to walk right, hallelujah, power to read the Bible and understand it because you're always there, power right now, hallelujah, hallelujah, overflow of power, and even speaking with other tongues, that your love language, that your prayer language, hallelujah, will come forth even right now. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Only you can do it, Lord God. Amen. Amen. And we want to invite you to our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts so that you can learn about your salvation and you can grow. Hallelujah. Now, you can do that. You can go to any Bible-believing church, and they will help you learn and grow. Excuse me, our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Now, what we have on Sunday, every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, we have church service. The East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. We meet on Sundays, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And with all of our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, you dial the same number, 516-418-5699. Hallelujah. And we also can be found on the archives or in the podcast. And you just simply Google Get 'Em Radio, G-I-T-M Radio. Hallelujah. And then you can just really check out our over 1,200 podcasts. Glory to God. And feast. You have a good time. And so on Monday, we have our Bible teaching, and we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, where you learn more about the Bible with our Bible teacher. And that is Mondays, every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, we have our prayer time, and we call it Praying in Tongues Tuesday. So we start off with four people who volunteer to pray in tongues, and they pray for 15 minutes at a time. And then at the end of that hour, we have interpretation of tongues. It is no less than awesome. Some people call in and they just listen as we pray in tongues, and the presence of the Lord comes upon them. It's a beautiful time. And so we meet every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Hallelujah. And then on Wednesday, we have our healing service, and we call it prophetic healing. Hallelujah, where God will let us know the ailments that will be healed prior to the broadcast, and people call in and be and get healed, because what God reveals, He heals. Amen. So we have it the second Wednesday of every month. This Wednesday coming up, Wednesday the 13th of April, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the last time we met was in March, and there were 12 healings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So please mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm. Let your family know, let your friends know. If you're in need of a healing, come on back with us on this Wednesday, April the 13th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then finally, next Thursday, we are back here again on our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio, and we'll be back again with the five love languages. Now, I know that a lot of you, as you listen, you're like, I know so-and-so needs to hear this. So-and-so needs to hear this. And if they heard this, it will help them out. So let them know about it, okay? And that way, when they call in, they can ask questions. Praise God. They could go to the archives, but they can also ask questions and make comments. So we will be with our Minister Mary, Minister Lenny Yarbrough, every Thursday this month. That's the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So let's go back to Ministers Mary and Lenny Yarbrough for closing remarks and closing prayer.
So we were certainly hoping that tonight you would be able to define and apply the words of affirmation, that you will be able to, in the end, articulate words that energize your loved one's life by filling his or her fuel tank designed by God to run on words of affirmation. And, of course, words of affirmation are words that communicate love. They communicate appreciation and respect for another person. They are positive words and phrases that can be spoken or written. You know, y'all can send me a card to say, Lenny, you did a fantastic job. Words of affirmation. I always give Mary cards. She probably got a drawer full of cards somewhere.
I do.
But these words, they confirm and support and uplift and empathizes with another person in a positive manner. In a positive manner. In a positive manner. In a positive manner.
I wanted to add something here before you, as you get ready to close, even some more. I want to do a positive thing tonight and let people know about your Cash App. Hallelujah. You know, 40 years of marriage, talking about love and the five love languages and how you guys have been flowing in the Spirit. We want to sow into what God is doing in you. And their Cash App is $ Lenny E. Yarbrough. And Lenny is L-I-N-N-I-E. And then E is his middle initial. And then Yarbrough, Y-A-R-B-R-O-U-G-H. Did I do that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Their Cash App is $ Lenny, L-I-N-N-I-E, middle initial E, Yarbrough, Yarbrough. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's okay. Awesome.
I didn't want to leave that out.
I appreciate that. Mary appreciates it too. So that's the definition, and the key words are positive, spoken or written, confirms, supports, uplifts, and empathizes in a positive manner. All right. So I turn it over to Mary to list the words of affirmation dialects.
Okay, the words of affirmation dialects are verbal compliments, encouraging words, kind words, humble words, and saying positive things when your spouse or your loved one is not present. The thought that I wanted to leave you guys with tonight is go back and, you know, pray and ask God to help you to recognize, you know, what type of love helps you to feel as though you're loved. And to me, that just really gives the person so much awareness for, and I want to just talk about me personally. When I discovered what made me feel like I'm loved, that was so eye-opening to me. I'm a person like everybody likes gifts and stuff, but that doesn't make me feel like I'm loved. Everybody, you know, likes people to do things for them, but for me, that never made me feel like I was loved. And I had to go back to, you know, even when I was a kid, when I was a child, I did not know how to verbalize. I didn't know how to verbalize what made me feel like I was loved. And what made me feel like I was loved, and we haven't gotten to this love language yet, was quality time. and it was, you know, having somebody to spend focused time with me. And my mother was really great at that. She was really, really great at that. And even she's even great with that now when I come to the house to visit her. She'll say, come lay down in the bed with me. Come sit on the bed with me. And she already knew that, you know, I had a sense of needing that focused attention for me to feel loved. So
to fill your tank.
To fill my tank. So seek the Lord for and ask him to help you to recognize what makes you feel loved. Because here's the thing. When you can recognize that, then things begin to make more sense to you. They begin to make sense to you. And especially when you're in a relationship, when you can recognize that for yourself, then you can communicate with your spouse. You communicate with your children. You can communicate, and your children can communicate you what they need to feel like they're loved. I don't know a spouse or a parent or a child that doesn't want to give love and doesn't want to receive love. We all want to give love, and we all want to receive love. And this is just a tool to help us to give the right kind of love that's going to help someone feel like they're loved. And then for us to be able to say, you know, I need this from you to feel like I'm loved. So that's kind of what I want to leave with everyone tonight. And then, of course, your homework is to look at these biblical couples and the cartoon couples and the TV couples and kind of, you know, think about and look at, you know, what kind of love language are they speaking to one another? All right. I've certainly enjoyed this tonight, and I want to thank Apostle for having us on, and it really has been great for us to go over this again, because every time, you know, we go over it, it's eye-opening. Lenny?
And the final word I have is that in the book, it tackles this question about, is it a tendency, this question of gender, right? It talks about, like, are men mostly words of affirmation, love language? Are women mostly quality time? Well, based on years of experience and years of study and looking at this, he concludes in the book that it is not based on gender, okay? So men that are listening out there, one of these love languages, any of the five can be one of your love languages. So just wanted to make that quick point. And thank you, Barbara, and everyone for taking the time out tonight to listen to some people that's been, you know, together for 40-some years with all of our warts and scars and, you know, celebrations and ups and downs. We want to thank y'all so much for spending this time with us. Turn it back over to you, Barbara.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. I totally enjoyed you tonight. And I said maybe I need to learn some more before I start looking at Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and all those others. So I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, what their love languages are, or even the Lord just opening up my eyes to see it. And, you know, I know that this is good time, this is God time, and for us to be aware of what's going on and what our needs are for that love tank this is very important for us, even for such a time as this. So thank you all for investing this time in us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of the night. Amen.
Yes. Y'all tell the people that, dog.